Central and Vernon. Go ahead. I'm on scene at 108 South 17th. We've got light smoke showing from a single-story commercial building. Working fire, make it a regular alarm. Engine 1 upon arrival. Let's see if we can get in. Let's see if there's an FPC in the back before we do anything here.
That's right.
I'll be establishing the 17th Street command.
Well, welcome everybody today to Justifiably Proud Productions. I am honored to have a special guest in our studio today to discuss his most recent achievements. This young man, recently he's a high school student and recently went to go perform at State, which we'll dive into here shortly. Without a further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Andres Flores to Justifiably Proud Productions. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Is this your first time on a podcast?
No, but it's always good to come on to a podcast and have some fun, you know?
Yeah. What do you think about our studio?
Man, this studio is amazing. By far, hands down, the best studio I've ever been to. The amount of doors I had to come through, and you have a guard dog guarding this place. It's amazing. And, you know, the pictures, the sound, the quality, you know, the surround sound, and then the headphones, the equipment. This is top of the line, cutting edge you have here. Like, Joe Rogan would be jealous to see this, if you understand me.
Yeah, Dally's trying to give Joe Rogan a run for his money by guarding this place. But yeah, I appreciate your kind words. Andres, may I call you Andy?
No, you may not. You can call me Maverick, though.
Maverick. Okay, yeah. You prefer Maverick. All right. So Maverick invited my family and I to join him today. He got a special recognition along with other kids from his school or young adults from his school for a recent event he partook in with the FAR San Juan Alamo School District. And my wife and I and my daughter were honored to be there today. And I just thought it would be a great time to share a young person's perspective of trying to challenge and get through life and sharing some of his success with our Justifiably Proud Productions listeners out there. So Andres, tell me, you know, how you got there. Tell me what happened and how all this transpired. I assume you've been in band for a long time. You're a drummer?
Yes.
And so you've been progressing up to this point in your musical career. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so it really all started when I was in sixth grade. In sixth grade year, it was the beginning of the middle school year, so I knew my dad was in band, and he was a really good percussionist. He played band through middle school and throughout high school as well. So I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot because I'm not really that great at sports. So I was like, we'll see what's up. And I really wanted to play the drums like my dad. My dad played the drums for a really long time, and he still does play the drums in the McAllen Fire Department, piping drums. So I was all like, let's just dive into it. And although the other instruments were pretty cool, like the brass instruments, the trumpets, the trombones, tuba, those were pretty eye-catching, but it was definitely going back to percussion. It was going back to the drums because I have really bad asthma, so I really can't keep up with all those breathing exercises, and definitely if we're going to do marching, I really couldn't keep up with that, all that breathing. So it was definitely the drums. So in sixth grade, you don't really necessarily start off in a band, which you start off in what's called a beginner band, which is you learn notes, you learn rhythms, and you learn patterns, check patterns for drumming. But then there's another musical aspect of drumming where you actually do learn notes on the keyboard. What we call it marimba, xylophone, vibraphone. There's all different kinds of that one there. So that's a whole another beast of its own. So sixth grade, I really liked it, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay in band from sixth grade to 12th grade year until I graduate. And if I continue to like it, I'll maybe even do it into college, because I knew at that time that some colleges would pay for your college tuition if you were in the band with them.
Sure.
So I was like, you know, if I really like this enough, then, you know, I'll probably pursue it in college. And
So sixth grade was the beginning of paving your way for the endeavors that you want to go to. Yeah,
definitely.
So I remember when my son tried out for band in sixth grade, and everybody wanted to play drums, you know, and he was a little disappointed because they're like, "No, you're going to play the saxophone," and he only did that. And he only did band for 1 year, you know. I guess that's the time when kids try out, and see what they like and what they're good at. And then, of course, he ventured into football.
Yeah,
but I remember everybody wanted to play the drums, and it was a very selective, like, you know. Although everybody wanted to try the drums, they were very selective on who they picked. So tell me about this year. Tell me what was so special about what we celebrated today.
So what we celebrated today was it was more of a recognition for me and some other band students. So what every year what UIL does, the University of Interscholastic League, that's what it's called, UIL, that's what UIL stands for. They do what's called solo and ensemble, which upon one of the many things they do throughout the whole entire school year, it's one of the many things, one of the, I guess, activities, I guess you can say they do, just to keep the kids, you know, us engaged into their program. They call it solo and ensemble. So you could play a solo or you can be part of an ensemble with two or three other people and play a song for the judges. And you're talking about these judges are high school level judges, and then if you move on to state solo and ensemble, you're playing for college professors, people who studied music for years and years and years, and you play in front of them. So I do it every year when I was in seventh grade, because that's when you're able to start it. Seventh grade year I started it, I did it, and I got a one. Eighth grade year I did it and I got a one as well. Ninth grade year, I didn't get to do it because of COVID. And then, sophomore year, I didn't get to do it because of COVID. So then coming this year, UIL finally, said, you know what, we're going to bring everything back. We're bringing back marching season. We're bringing back, solo and ensemble. We're bringing back all region. We're bringing back all of that. So I said, you know what, I'm going to do a solo this year because I missed out those 2 years. Those were 2 years that I could have gotten a one and put it, you know, put it on my records, but which is no big deal, of course. But this year, I'm definitely going to do it. So this year, I picked out a solo, which it was very unique to everybody else's solo. Solos consist of either you're going to do it on a snare drum, which is it's just a one drum, and or you could do a solo on a tenors. Which is tenors, it's the multiple drums with the little two drums in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then the other solos, they consist of playing on the marimba or on the xylophone or on the vibraphone and whatnot. My solo was very different. My solo consists of two toms, one bass drum, one cowbell, a wood block.
Oh, you had the cowbell.
Yes, the cowbell, the wood block, the tambourine, the bongos, and a cymbal. And what they call that, it's a special
arrangement.
It's called the multi-percussionist solo. So it has that real cool name to it. So when the judges see it, they're like, "Oh, multi-percussionist solo. How is he going to surprise me with this?"
Yeah.
So
who picked that arrangement?
So what ended up happening was that I was in the percussion room. We have our own room, and our teacher has his computer in there. And we like to search up the YouTube videos of different drum lines. Okay, like we see ideas from this drum line. Okay, let's try it with our drum line. Like different techniques. Anyways, so he said, why don't you try out this, my friend Jose, he was like, why don't you just try out this solo I saw on a YouTube video like 2 years ago. It's a multi-percussion solo. It's called Engine Room. And I said, Engine Room? Multi-percussionist? What's that? Like I had no knowledge of it. So I was like, okay, well, let me look at it. Let me see it. So, and I saw it and I was like, wow, I saw the setup and I was just flabbergasted. I was like, whoa, I've never seen something like that. It's definitely an eye catcher. So I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Like I was all for it.
And when did this start? In January, February or beginning?
Believe it or not, I saw that video in September.
Oh, okay.
Solo and ensemble was not going to start till the next half of the school year, so it wasn't going to happen until the second semester. So I knew that solo. I got that solo that same day when I saw it in September. I got it that same day, and I learned it before the Christmas break.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of knew it already, but come the second semester, that's when I definitely I caught up to it, and I became advanced to that solo. So once I got advanced to that solo, it was time to perform it in front of the judge, the region judge, which is only in our area. And it just so happened that our region judge was our judge was coming to our school, PHJ Early College High School, go Bears. He was coming to our school, so I was like, you know what, so all the setup was there. I didn't have to move everything. It was perfect. So I started playing. I got there early in the morning. My performance was at 8:10 or something like that, some weird time. And I started playing. Well, little did I know, the judge was actually standing right behind me, listening to me play. And I was playing, and I was practicing, and I was doing real good. I got two, three good reps of just, it was good reps, good sound quality, good everything. And when I turned around, he was facing the other direction, like you know, man, I'm not listening to you, man. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And
pretending to blow you off.
Yeah. So then I go into the other room and I'm waiting, and I don't get nervous before my performances. So I think that's a plus for me. That really does help me out. So sure enough, it was my turn to go up. All right, let's do this. And it kind of did get just a little nerve wracking because, I mean, there was a couple people going in front of me, and they were just coming out like, man, I messed up, man. I did this, I did that wrong. Like, I don't know what's going on with me today. Like, today was, I don't know. So I was like, oh, man. So I go in there and I played it flawless. It was perfect. And he was all like, man, you really got chops, like this and that. So I was like, you know what? I definitely did good here. So I was.
And how long did it take to get the results from that regional qualifying?
I got it that same day.
Like later in the day?
3 hours later.
Oh, okay.
3 hours later.
And so what was it like waiting during those 3 hours? You were confident?
I was confident, but I was...
How many other... sorry for interrupting, but how many other schools were... Was McAllen ISD there, Edinburgh ISD, or this was like Corpus, or...
No, it was just... it was just our school that was just going to be
okay,
there.
But yeah. How many high schools y'all have?
We have, in PHA, we have 4 high schools.
Okay.
So it was a little nerve-wracking because, you know, the judges are cool. Every judge I've ever encountered has always been super cool, super supportive. And, you know, at the end of the day, the judges are there to judge you, yes, of your playing, but they're also there to help you as well.
Uh-huh.
So... you know, he did mention a couple things, which I was super glad of, because I took those things, and when I got that Division One, and I, it was awesome. And finding out when I was going to move on to state, which I'll get into a little bit later, it felt good, because it felt that, you know, the work that I, the very, you know, very, you know, work that I put in was, it was great. And what I will mention here is that I only practiced that solo twice at my house. I remember, you know, other kids would go home and they would practice it religiously. But I only practiced it twice at my house.
Yeah, your pops was telling me he was really resentful because you didn't really have to practice. It came rather natural to you.
Yes, it was. It was very natural to me. But which I was also glad to say is that every percussionist there that competed for that solo ensemble in the region area, we all got Division One.
Oh,
so we
awesome.
All moved on to state.
So everybody that performed that ensemble,
their solo or their ensemble,
solo,
yes,
made it.
Yeah, they made it to state. So a couple months passed, maybe like 1 or 2, and we were gonna host a percussion concert. And my director, Mr. Garcia, he comes up to me and says, look, we have so many ensembles going on. I know you're a part of 1 or 2 ensembles, but do you mind doing Engine Room as the opener for this concert? And I was just beyond thrilled. I was like, let's do it. But the problem was is that I had not practiced that solo 1 or 2 months. So, and the percussion concert was going to be that Friday. So I mean, it was probably the most I've ever practiced that solo. I mean, I went day after day after day practicing, going to the school and practicing that solo. And during that time, that's when I definitely mastered that solo. I was not advanced anymore. I was mastered at that solo. I knew when to crescendo, decrescendo, you know, fix the accents, you know, how to move around the drums a lot more faster, quicker, get the tempo up to speed and keeping that tempo along. So when we went to state, first of all, going to state solo and ensemble, it's very hard because you go for a long time and you stay up for a long time. You're in the heat and you're trying to practice and you're about to go perform in a judge. And these judges are college level judges. Like, man, you don't want to mess up in front of these guys.
Uh-huh.
Like,
you don't want to waste their time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was the last performer and for our school, of course. And I remember I was in the heat all day
practicing. And this was in Austin, Texas.
This was in Austin. We went to Austin, near Pflugerville, uh-huh. somewhere around there. And, we got there that night. And then the next morning, wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, be down by 6, get there at 7, unload by 7:05, you know, and just wait till your turn, unload the bus. And I mean, practice. And I practice.
Now that I'm sorry, that suit I saw you wearing, were you wearing that all day?
No.
You showed up you got to dress before the performance.
No, thankfully I had to show up dressed before the performance. Uh-huh. So everyone was looking real nice. But when
you had to wait patiently in that uncomfortable suit.
Yes.
Until you performed. I got you. Okay. Hot.
Yes. And
so you were the last one to perform. You got to the event. Where was the event held at?
I think the event was held at Howard High School, something along those lines.
Okay.
Home of the Cougars or something like that.
So you're waiting like in a gymnasium to perform? Or
we're
you're
waiting outside in the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
The teacher's parking lot. And you could go inside.
Uh-huh.
But I thought of it as this way. You could either go inside and wait and not practice and then screw up in your performance. Or you could be outside in the heat practicing and getting better.
Uh-huh.
And I thought of it that way. I really did. Like, the whole time I was out there, you know, sweating on the drums and then trying to clean the sweat off the drums so they wouldn't look bad. I thought about that because, I mean, there's no shade out there. You're in a parking lot.
And how long before you went to perform, you had to set up your own drums the way you wanted them?
Yep.
How much time do they give you?
It's really, there really is no time.
They just tell you when you're ready, you can go.
So, yeah, and that's what I do like about a UIL solo and ensemble. It's nothing is timed. Everything is going to be at your own pace.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it's just going to be you and the judge. You know what I mean? Although we have a lot of people waiting, it's just going to be you and the judge. So just relax, just be patient, and just wait and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And this was on, what, May 28th you performed?
Yes.
Somewhere at the end of May?
Yeah, somewhere towards the end of May, yes.
Okay. So you're the last one to perform for your school. This is for state.
This is for state solo and ensemble.
And tell me about the outcome of all the performers.
So all the performers that they were walking out, they all were glad that they were there. It was overall a good trip for everybody, but everyone knew the main objective of that day. I knew the main objective. And it was just, you know, we needed to get it done.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I'd like to say is that it is extremely, extremely difficult to get a one at state solo and ensemble. Extremely difficult. And people were getting, especially the freshmen, I saw the freshmen, they were happy because they were getting a two. They were getting a two because it shows that, you know, you're up there. So the way the divisions go is that one is being the best. Two being the middle and three obviously, you know, being the worst, right? So getting a two, it is bad. It's, you know, it's in band wise, it's not the greatest thing in the world. But if you're at state solo and ensemble and you're getting a two, that's kind of, you know, that's hats off to you, man, because you did pretty good.
Right.
Especially in doing in front of college judges. Like, hey, that's
And how many schools were represented there, would you guess?
Man, there was a lot. A lot of schools. I know
25?
Yeah, probably about around there. Okay. And then including the amount of kids who got Division One, all the equipment, you know, there, it was a lot.
So is there division, is this state for strictly percussion, or is there other?
So the percussionists were being held at one school, and all the the instruments, they were being held at another school.
I got you. Yeah. Okay.
So I went in there, I did the solo, and it was going good. Like, I was doing perfect, and it was a perfect execution. She gave me a couple things. I think her name was Miss Rogers. I think that's what her name was. She was super cool. She gave me a couple things to work on. She made me play a couple things back so she could hear it again. And when I played those things back, it was just perfect. She's like, "Oh, that was good. Perfect. That's fine. I just wanted to hear that again one more time."
She wanted to make sure you knew it. It wasn't on a whim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you actually could do it. You could replicate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, "I like that part. That's why I want to hear it again."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Before you play it, the directors are supposed to give the music to the judges. So she saw the music. And she was looking at it, and she was looking at my hands, and she was looking at me. So she had a good rhythm going on there. And what I definitely liked about this solo ensemble, which I never knew they did, was that they would write down your score on a piece of paper, but also they had a laptop in front of them, so they can update the score in front of it. So like, I got a Division One, right? You know, and she put it on the computer and she uploaded it. Like a brand new post on social media. Do you understand?
Yeah, I got you.
So when I was done, right, and I grab all my stuff and we're walking. I mean, there's a lot of people helping me because everyone's already done. And I have a lot of equipment. You're talking like 8 pieces of sets, you know, you're carrying with you. So I got it. And the moment we get outside, one of my friends that's a tenor player with me, he says, "Hey, Andres, you got a Division One." And I look to him and I go like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you got a Division One, man. Like, look on my phone." And he shows me his phone and I'm like, "There's no way. There's no effing way." Like, outside, like, I was so happy. Like, it was like a definitely a big off of my chest because it was a phenomenal feeling, man. It was great. I remember I was jumping up and down. Like, I was so, so happy. But I was trying to keep my composure because there was hot chicks there, too. Yeah, and then I was walking around. I was like, "Yeah,
Division One.
See that?
So you're a junior?
Yes, I am.
And you got a Division One. Was there any seniors that got Division One?
There was one senior that got a Division One, Dominique Salinas.
Uh-huh.
She is a good player. So there was 3 seniors.
So
there.
Was it a long bus ride home with the seniors?
Yeah.
I bet.
It was. There was 3 seniors that were there. 3 of them, all 3 of them went to the state marching contest. And 2 of them, only one of those seniors got a Division One, and it was just me and her.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So it was, and the moment I got on that bus, and everyone was looking at me like, "Man, like, they glorified me. They were like, 'Man, you just, like, what did you do?'" Like, and they all said, "Your solo," because they've seen my solo. Like, everyone has seen my solo because I performed it at the concert. They all were just happy because they knew I had a good solo. But, you know, what I definitely just, I don't say this a lot, was that it's definitely the player. You know, you could have the, you know, one of the best solos in the world, one of the most fun solos in the world, but it's definitely, it really comes all down to the player.
Uh-huh.
And which, thankfully, I've been blessed, and I try to humble myself every day because of that, I'm thankful that God has given me these hands, the skill, the patience, definitely the patience to just learn a piece of music, to be able to stand there and just continue working at it and to continue my knowledge into this percussion world. So, yeah.
So not only everybody, it's my belief that everybody's born with God-given talent,
yes,
but very few recognize what that is, yes, you know? I mean, in some aspects, we may be really good at doing some things, mm-hmm, but we do other things very poorly.
Yeah.
And we may not, there's a lot of people that may not ever get to see what talents they have, mm-hmm, simply because they never try,
yes,
you know? But your judge, mm-hmm. do you know if she had ever heard Engine Room before? Any idea? You imagine she probably has?
I would think she has, mm-hmm. but maybe years ago, and probably just didn't remember it as well. Maybe. But, I mean, she looked over the music like a quick second, so she probably didn't know Engine Room.
Yeah, she probably is like, oh,
she
okay.
probably didn't know. And my previous judge in the region, he knew Engine Room, and he heard it a week ago for another school. And he told me, he told my director that when he heard my Engine Room, it was twice as better as the one he heard a week ago. So I was like, you know what? That's when I was like, yeah, I'm on the right path here. I was definitely on the right path.
So I was at church the other day, and the week before last, and the priest father was talking to the graduates at our church about how, I mean, you guys are the future of our country, you know, and we're gonna need people. We need people with skills. We need people with all kinds of different talents. And he just told, it was interesting. He was a visiting priest, but he was just pushing that. Try whatever you can try, because we're going to need all types of different workers throughout our country. I mean, I guess he was being a little political, but he shared a light that, we need you, you know, it's not just, you're not just graduating from high school one day and then that's it. Like we need you to keep continuing and persevere and continue to grow. So, you couldn't have done this without people in your life. Tell me about it.
Absolutely not. I mean, first of all, I just want to say my mom and my dad, definitely. My dad is the band booster president. I mean, he brings in all the funds, all the everything. He's the best band booster, the PSJ Early College High School, maybe even across even the whole PSJ district. He's the best band booster they've ever had. He's brought in so much money, and it's nothing has gone towards to the school. It's all gone towards the band.
Yeah. So where in many schools football gets a lot of the donations or whatever, those more popular type things, band at your school gets a lot of funding.
So what we're blessed, and that the principal actually really really loves the band. He throws a party for us. He throws a party for us every year, a barbecue, and he pays for all the food, all that stuff, because he really loves the band. Well, this year when we had our band banquet, he paid for all the food. He paid for most of the things that were there, since we didn't get to have a barbecue because of COVID. Then also the things, the thing that also happened in Valde too. So he loves the band. Like it, most people don't realize it, or the students there, they don't really see it. But I mean, you know, when he talks to my dad, and when he definitely talks to me, it really shows that he is there for the band. He will definitely back up the band 110%. And what most kids don't know was that he was there at Pigskin. That he was there to really represent us. Like he was excited.
Didn't need to be there, but he showed up to support. You can count on him for support.
Oh yeah.
I got you,
Mr. Dr. Elias.
And tell me about your mom.
Oh my God, I love my mom. She is the loudest screamer in the world, but she is screaming for me 100% for the whole band. She has always been there. Like even days, like in marching band, when we just had bad practices, or when I would come home from a bad day of school, it was just, I'd be all over the place. She'd just be like, "It's okay, son. Like you have one more year of this." And then, you know, if we had a bad day of practices, things like this, bad days are going to happen, just like this. But what are we going to do from it? And it was my answer was always the same response. Well, we can go to Hooters and then, you know, cheer me up. But she was like, no.
Yeah.
She said that we just have to sleep on it, come back the next day, and even let's just do it better. And I'd be like, yeah, let's do it.
So the other thing, the other day I was listening to a video on YouTube, and I apologize for not knowing who said this quote, but they said, enthusiasm is abundant, but endurance is rare, you know, and it takes endurance to, you know, be successful a lot of times, and it sounds like you've got that, you know. You're not giving up. I know many times I'm speaking as an adult to a young man. We want to give up, you know, and it's so easy to just throw in the towel. Like today, I just finished my homework and I didn't want to do this. I told you, hey, let's leave it for another day. But man, I got done with my homework and I'm like, man, let's do this. This is going to be awesome. Like today was a great day. Mm-hmm. So glad you invited us to it. Now for our listeners, where can they find Engine Room? Just YouTube?
Yeah, just definitely go to YouTube and look up Engine Room, because
that way they'll get an idea of what you performed.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe, I'll record myself one day.
Put it on YouTube. We can even put it. What's your Twitter handle so people can check you out?
My Twitter handle is going to be Andres Maverick 5. I think that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
At Andres Maverick 5?
Yeah, at capital Andres. At Andres Maverick 5. Yeah, that's going to be it.
Awesome.
Yeah, so... Yeah, this is this percussion journey. It's definitely been a long one. And going back to what you're saying, the endurance. It's definitely been a long one. And it really does take a lot of that. And there are some days that I'm like, man, I just want to give up. But to me now, I say it now, like, man, I'm just so done with band. But I won't do it. Because simply, it's just there for me. It's always been there for me, and I just it's hard to let go. Do you understand me?
I know exactly what you're saying. There's days I don't want to be a firefighter anymore. I want to just retire. Yes,
but you won't do it.
I won't do it. No,
because it's just always been there.
Right.
And I mean, there are some days my like, man, I loved band today. We chilled out. We played really good, and you know, it was just a good day. But then, you know, 2 days later, even the next day, we did bad. We were getting railed by our directors. They were just mad. They were upset. You know, it was just days like that happen. But, you know, going back to what my mom and my dad said, you know, we just got to keep moving forward, keep pushing forward. Because, you know, like that or like stuff like that is going to happen. But what I definitely will reminisce and say here, and which it definitely represented me today, and it represented me back in Austin, was that, you know, things like that, bad days, good, bad days, that's what's going to make or break champions. And when I was there practicing, I was like, those twos and all those threes that everyone was there, and I was in the hot sun, in the heat, sweating on the drums. This is what's going to make or break champions right here.
Yeah, and you don't know if any of them may saw you doing that this year.
Yeah.
And next year they're going to realize, man, I should have done that or I could do that. You know, we never know what kind of an impact we have on other people.
Yeah.
You know, good or bad. We're always being watched, and maybe you set a spark in somebody else, whether it was your school or another school, that, man, I saw that kid out there playing well before the event, practicing. You know, maybe if I would have put that much effort in, I could have done, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. I never really thought about that, actually.
Yeah, we don't know what kind of impact we have on people.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, sometimes we get told, but there's I'm sure there's things that have been said to you in your life that people don't even know what kind of an impact they've had on you, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and so I strive, and you seem like the type of person that would enjoy being that type of person as well, striving for that.
Yeah, it's definitely reaching for the top. Because
so who do you want to play drums for?
What
college you want to play drums for?
To be honest with you, I really don't know whether if I do want to continue band in college. But I will say this though, there is this college out there that really does have my eye. I want to be a pharmacist when I grew up. That's my end goal. So there is this college out there in Maine. I think it's called Hudson University, something like that. And they do have a band. And I don't know, but of course I don't know how well their band is. So, and I wouldn't mind playing the drums for them if they give me that opportunity.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know if they have a marching band. If they have a concert band, that's cool too. I can do concert as well. But if they have marching, we'll see what's up. We'll see what's up, definitely.
So I wanted to ask you something, and I hope you'll be perfectly honest with me. Mm-hmm. Is the heartbeat of rock and roll still beating? Do you know what I'm referencing?
Yeah, I do. I do understand what you mean.
Or is the heart of rock and roll still beating?
Yeah.
When it comes to drums?
I would definitely like to say yes to this because it definitely is, because whenever a song comes up, definitely like an old school song, like an old school rock and roll, like, man, you could just feel like the instrumental music to it. So one of the things that I was talking to a friend about was that there were like, man, music hits different parts of the brain. I was talking about some of this yesterday, that they were like, music hits different parts of the brain, this, this, and that. And I was like, man, you don't even know the other half. Like, musicians, artists, and so many other people, they put notes in certain places. They put rhythms in certain places of their songs for a reason.
Yeah.
And people don't know that. And that's a whole nother universe of itself. They say like, oh, the lyrics of it and the sound of it, right? It takes you to a different place. Look at the other side of the spectrum of the creating of the music, how the music is made. What is the music composed of, and why is it made? That's a whole nother brain teaser, brain twister of its own. Like, it really takes you to a different part of you know, music. And it's sadly to say that only people who know music and know how to play music and understand music, we're really the only ones that actually know what that
takes.
Is.
Yeah, what it takes.
What it takes to do that.
There's a 10 or 12 minute video on the making of "Wouldn't It Be Nice" by the Beach Boys, mm-hmm. and it's awesome. Like, Brian Wilson, it talks about he brought in 3 pianos. And so many violinists, and you know the song "Wouldn't It Be Nice," right? Do you know that song?
No, I don't recall that song.
You'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
it's an old school Beach Boys song, mm-hmm. and it was on their album Pet Sounds. But he brought in accordionists. He brought in, like, it talks about how he put everything together, and it's just really amazing how there's musical geniuses out there that can put something together that'll touch your heart or your spirit, you know?
Yep. So, I don't know if you recall Richie Valens,
uh-huh.
Buddy Holly, and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was said that those guys were going to change music forever. That was the rumor.
Yeah.
And you mean, you're talking about, that's during a time when the Beatles were still around. And I mean, the Beatles, in my personal opinion.
The Beatles named themselves after the Buddy Holly's band was the Crickets.
Oh.
That's how the Beatles, they wanted. So actually, the Crickets were around before the Beatles.
Oh, really?
They say that Elvis may not have been what Elvis was had that plane crash not happened.
Yep.
And I think it was, who was it that gave up his seat on the plane?
Big Bopper.
No. Waylon Jennings?
Him?
He was supposed to be on the plane, but he gave up his seat because another gentleman was sick.
Oh, okay.
And he needed to get home. So he gave up his seat. I believe it was Waylon Jennings, or else he would have been in that plane.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much... was it Waylon Jennings? I'm pretty sure it was Waylon Jennings. He sings a theme song to the Dukes of Hazzard. Oh, okay. I believe it was Waylon Jennings. So, yeah. They're saying, like, Elvis wouldn't have happened if Buddy Holly would have still been around, and those guys. Yeah. And the Beatles may not have been what they were.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought about that, too, when I was like, oh, wow, then. All these guys, man, they would have been irrelevant soon.
Right.
But, I mean, of course, they still made a pretty big
impact. They set the stage.
Yeah, they still made a pretty big impact in music. Me, personally, I don't know about you, but I love the Beatles. Like,
yeah, for sure.
The music...
Give me your favorite Beatles song.
Man, that's a good one, man. Let It Be.
Okay.
Yeah, Let It Be, because... That one, it has a lot of backstory to it. It has rock and roll in it. It has a little bit of violin, bass. It has a little bit of everything in it. But I mean, that's kind of almost like every Beatles song. Hey Jude is also pretty good. Hey Jude,
I was going to say that's my favorite.
That's, Hey Jude. I really like Hey Jude because it's long. It's a 6-minute song.
Right.
And it's the last part, it's kind of...
Well, and you got a guitarist playing piano.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
And he plays really good piano and guitar, yep. You know. I saw him play on... I used to have a recording of Paul McCartney playing that song on Saturday Night Live one night. It was awesome. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that had definitely been a time to be alive around that time.
Yeah.
To see those guys.
I remember as a kid, my dad had a book of Beatles songs. He tinkered with the guitar, and he had a book on how to play Beatles songs with, you know, and I was learning these as I was a kid. He was showing me some of this stuff, and I'm by no means I can play a few chords on guitar, right?
Yeah.
I can put a few chords together to make somewhat of a song. And I remember I was so young that when I asked Dad, like, okay, Dad, well, who are the Beatles? And he told me, and he's like, yeah, but they'll never be back. You know, John Lennon died. And I was like, what? And I remember being so sad that, like, and all this awesome music, and, like, we're never going to hear this shit again.
Yeah. You
know? And it was heartbreaking to be a little kid and just think about what, you know, what could have been or whatever. Like, the Rolling Stones are my other favorite band. They've been around forever, man. Yeah. You know, and they're still rocking and rolling, but so I am just so honored that you thought of our family to come to this event today. I had a really long day, and it was really nice to wrap it up with that. And you know, you are the future of, you know, our nation and everything that is to come, you know. Mm-hmm. So before we go, where can our listeners, so they can find Engine Room, hopefully on YouTube, right? Right. Check that out. And is there a drumline on YouTube that you could recommend for somebody to check out if they wanted to? Do you know of any? Have you ever watched any drumlines on YouTube?
No drumlines, but there is this really cool YouTuber that as far as I know, every drummer likes. It's called EMC Production. He's a really cool guy. He played in the Marine Corps drumline. He is really funny on it, honestly. He practices in the Commandant Zone, something like that. But you know, that's definitely a drumline. That's definitely a drumline guy to watch.
And what is the name of it?
EMC Productions.
EMC Productions. Yeah. So for any of our listeners that would like to check out EMC Productions, and then check out Engine Room on YouTube. That's one of the first things I'm gonna look at when we close out here today. Well, Maverick, thanks for being here today on Justifiably Proud Productions. You're always welcome back. You've got a great foundation to whatever's to come, you know, and we wish you the best.
Yes, thank you for having me. Thank you for coming out to the event today. I know that it really takes a lot, you know, definitely me, you know, going in front of the school board, getting recognized for something that I did, you know, months back, of course, you know. But it was definitely a proud moment because it was definitely showing that, you know,
Was packed.
Yeah, it was packed.
There was a lot of people being recognized, but, you know, it was packed. And you represent the Bears well, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, I really do hope so. Mind if I finish off with a quote?
Go ahead.
On my end? I heard this quote in a Batman movie. But this quote, when I heard it, and when you go to sleep tonight, and hopefully when the listeners hear this, let this quote reminisce in you, because it definitely reminisces in me today, even tonight when I go to sleep and I think about everybody that I saw today and how I pray at night and I appreciate them. The quote goes all like, it's not who we are underneath, but it's what we do that defines us. And that quote right there, it let that reminisce in you. Let that think, you know. Let it have an impact on you. Let it affect you, and see how you can move forward, and see how you can move on from there. Because I know it definitely led me to where I am today, and to hopefully where I want to go in the future. And it will have nothing but a positive mindset, and it will, the outcome will be your outcome, and which hopefully that will be the best outcome for you and your lifetime.
Give me the quote one more time.
It's not who we are underneath, but it's what we do that defines us.